WEI listing.
But
But when we went down there a few days ago, the daughter told us that the line wasn't too long, and when we got there, that parking lot was full. But boy, they moved them through there fast, and they was very nice and took care of us, and we got our first shot. A friend of mine told me today that they're going to Pelham over here on Buncombe Road. I don't know how that will be. But whenever they advertise that they have extra doses, everybody and their brother goes instead of just people with appointments. So you stand in line behind those two.
Yeah, I was looking. Evidently, I was somebody tried to log into my wife's My Chart account tonight. Anyway, they locked her out of it, locked us out of it Saturday, I think, and so I had to wait till this morning to get hers back up and running again. But I had mine up, and I probably could have got in tomorrow or the next day, but I didn't want to have a go and then have to go back another day for her to get in. I could have got it to the Kmart Plaza, but my daughter works at WYFF, and she said, said the one in Columbia goes faster, plus you don't have to get out of the car, you don't have to stand out in the weather or anything like that. And they were doing, I think they said they were doing about, I don't know how many thousands a day they were doing that, but they were moving through pretty fast. That could change now, I guess, though, Tom, but I didn't want to go to Columbia, but I was able to schedule us at the same time on the same day, so we can both get in there and get out and come back, and then if we have to go back again, if we don't have to stand in line, it still may be an improvement and be the first time we've been out in a long time anyway.
To that repeater, I just heard a repeater IDing, and he was full quieting, and I just copied the code. It was November 8, Lima Charlie, and then, of course, they give a slash repeater, which is just slash R, and and that's your repeater. It was Sterling Heights, Michigan, Jerry. I wonder why it was coming through so strong.
Well, Ken, the time I got most of it. Go ahead, Ken.
I was just saying I was glad you got in there to get you a COVID shot, even if you got to go to Columbia, because my boss has just been trying for 3 days just to get a COVID test so he can come back to work and can't find no place that isn't backed up to give it to him.
Down on Pelham Road across from that new cancer center, Buncombe. We'd be on Highway 14, across from the Pelham. It's a Pelham Medical Center, isn't it? Yeah. Just south of Greer there, on Highway 14. And it's just south of the airport, right across the viaduct there, over 85 on the right side. But boy, there's been lines there like you wouldn't believe, Kenneth, so I don't know. I think there's an hour to 2 hours wait on the average. Go ahead and take it, Jerry.
Exactly where you're located, but tell him that if he doesn't, he can get on Prisma. Prisma's still got a lot of walk-in stuff available for tests, and these doctor's care clinics, they do it, and so does a place called Accurate Diagnostics. And that's where I get my B12 shots here in Anderson. And while I was in there, they walked out of the car and gave somebody a COVID test, and they were back in like 3 or 4 minutes. There was only one person back there. So that's been about a week ago. I'm sure it's probably gotten busier now, but a lot of these other places, you just got to check around. But Prisma was doing, I know, Tom, you were talking about the walk-ins at Prisma. The walk-ins for the second shot are open a lot of places. I was really surprised at it, but there's no walk-ins available right now for the first shot, at least not yet. But the appointments in Columbia, I probably could have got one a little bit earlier, but I didn't want to drive down there on a Friday or anything like that. And But next week for this service is the earliest we can both get one the same day. And I had one at, actually had one at the Kmart thing there at Prisma. And, but it was on March the 17th. And when I got in there and found out that my wife could get one at the Gamecock Park down there, that's just, that's just right off of, just a little bit off the interstate there. It's right there on crossing the stadium. It's a drive through, and I was watching what they were doing. They were saying, they were moving people through in there, in and out in a hurry, and just had a little tent when the weather was bad. And just drive through like you're getting a COVID test. They give you a shot in the arm, and you drive off, drive off in one specific area. They just wait for 15 minutes while they make sure you don't have a reaction, and off you go.
Tom, I'm going to say 73. I've made it to the Ingles here in Greer, so I'll say I hope you guys have an awesome day and everything works out for you, and I'll catch you another time. I'll say 73KN4TFW, clear.
Hope you have a good day. And Jerry, our next shot's March the 2nd, so God help us, maybe it'll get smaller. But I think they've opened it up a little too quick to another age group, but it's got to be done if they're going to get everybody their shots. I don't have anything against it, but from the looks of it to me, there were still plenty of people that were 70 and older waiting in line to get their shots. So I don't know how in the world it should be handled, but anyways, good luck on that. I could have went to VA at Columbia and got mine, but I didn't want to drive that far. That's a long drive for us. And speaking of long drives, my neighbor, his daughter likes to just take off and drive. So yesterday, at 11 o'clock in the morning, she calls and her Toyota Yaris, a fairly new one, was dead in the water. She was up near Indianapolis, Indiana, and Tim had to take off and go get a U-Haul trailer for carrying a car, and he has a great big huge Dodge 4x4, and he took off at 11 o'clock, and he never got back till 2 o'clock in the morning, this morning, and her car would only go 10 miles an hour, and that was it. And the odd thing is, the key fob was dead, and he took the key fob, went and got a new battery, took the minus post off of the main battery in the car to reset all of the lights that were coming on in the coats, and you know it's working like a champ.
Out of the car, Maverick, 73 to you. Hope you have a good afternoon. Tom, you know, I've had that happen a time or two with a Camry I owned. The battery would go dead, and it just forget me, and all the memory would go out of the car, and it would run. It'd run for like 4 or 5 minutes and stop, run 4 or 5 minutes and stop, and until I got a fresh battery in it and got everything charged up. I don't think it had anything to do with the key fob, but when I got a fresh battery and it got charged up, then, you know, it ran fine. But these cars have so much computerized control associated with them now. When the battery goes dead, you know, what type of memory those chips have. But this was an older car. This was 2003, I think. But it would just, you know, it'd forget where it was, and it wouldn't run. And then when I got a fresh battery in, a regular battery in it, you know, after you drove it a while, everything worked just fine. So I don't know what the deal is with them. But I've had that happen twice on a Toyota, so maybe that's something. Maybe it's just something the way the chips are.
Well, I'm no expert on it by any means, but I do know that they're sort of like a PLC, a programmable logic computer, and there's a bus out there. And as you're driving down the road, this thing is iterating at a zillion cycles a second. And it goes through a pattern, and it looks at your door locks, it looks at your trunks locked, it looks at the Hermes computer. computers. It looks at the firing of the thing by all of the transducers around the engine that pick up heat and air gas ratios and stuff like that. And it's continuously, you might say, going in a circle looking at those things. We'll just call it 10 megacycles, just for a round figure. And if that don't happen, things don't work. So it's kind of crazy. And they are battery dependent. I suppose that'd be a good time to have one of those jump type lithium ion batteries in the trunk. I never have done that. But my key fob, about every 6 months or so to a year, I'll just throw a new one in there if I happen to think about it. Or I'll take the old one out and check it with a meter. And the bad thing about that is you're not checking them under load. And to load them, you'd have to know what kind of milliamps they take. So that's not really a good test. It's not a dynamic test. It's more of a static test. So best thing to do is throw that battery in the trash basket and get another one. I always put tape over them before I throw them in the trash basket, by the way. Lithium can start fires. Anyway, Jerry, that's just my thoughts on it. This is NZOTR.
Mine doesn't have a key. Mine's just got the fob on it. It's got a key for the trunk, I think, if you want to use one. But it's just a push button deal. And I bought several of those batteries at Amazon or somewhere. You know, just keep them around the house. And you know, I've got a button cell tester too. But it's, unless it pegs it, it's probably not good under load. I'm sure. I don't know, you know, what it requires to do it. But that's the first one of those types I've had, other than just the standard lock and unlock deals. I can start the car. You know, remotely and that sort of thing. So I don't know. You still have to be within 20 feet or something like that. But sometimes I'll start it forever to. And my daughter's house, we'll start it before we go out to the car if it's really cold.
In the mailbox, Chief, for Bernice to go get the mail. I broke my case on my telephone, my cell phone. And I ordered some, and they come in the dang mail, and it's 4:46, and the mail's just getting here, and the normal person, well, that was Bernice walking by the driveway sensor, and they normally get here between 1 and 1:30, along in that area, and I had a letter going out, and I don't usually put them out there, but I had, so I was going to go out and get it, and he finally come up here while I was talking to you, Jerry. I bet he had the same situation. Maybe his key fob went dead.
Keys are, you look at the keys now, they don't have, they're not like the old keys. They're just totally different. And to replace one of those things is astronomical. If it's got a chip in it, I don't know how much they would have, but at one time they were like $100 or more. To replace the keys, I don't, you know, like I said, the one I got now, it's just a fob on it, doesn't have an actual, it's got one key that you can use like as a valet type key to lock the glove compartment and lock the trunk, but again, that doesn't make any difference. If they know how to get in, if they're going to get in. But it amazes me how much technology's in them now, what all the chips and stuff, what all they're doing in the cars, and it just doesn't take much sometimes to you know, make a big mess out of it, I guess. I did notice, I was talking to a friend of mine not long ago, and he's got an older Camry. I guess his is probably, I say it's probably 3 or 4 years old, but it's got a GPS and, you know, sitting up in the windshield with a Siri and all that sort of stuff. And he had that windshield replaced, and it was like $1,400.
What's your name?
And a Camry replaced, and it had all the GPS and tracking stuff. It was, you know, it was in a little black box behind the, you know, right kind of in front of the rear view mirror and the windshield. And when they replaced the windshield, they replaced all that stuff too. And I told them, I said, man, I said, that sounds like somebody took you for a ride. Surely that stuff is removable, but I'm not sure what the deal is, but he said it's like it was close to $1,400, I think, to get it replaced.
Well, it depends on the model. I mean, you must have had an upper end, but they have a rain sensor up there that senses when the rain hits the windshield on this Avalon. And I don't know. I don't think that has to be replaced. But the Avalon windshield is a sound-absorbent windshield, and it's like three layers thick. And that's just about what it cost, Jerry.
Law has an Avalon. She bought one same time we bought the Accord. Yeah, Avalon. It wasn't a Camry. It's an Avalon. I really liked hers. She got a black one, and it's really a beautiful car. The interior is interior is a little unusual looking, but other than that, I like the car. I like the way it drove. We were very close. We've always bought Camrys. We've had, I guess I've had three or four of them over the years that I used for company cars. And had one for our personal car. We kept it like 14 or 15 years before we finally sold it.
Valuable, good cars, there's no question about it. Yeah, the older ones were a lot easier to break into. These new ones are pretty hard. And then every single piece on there is ID'd, every fender, every piece on it is. So they don't really like to steal the newer ones as well as the older ones, I don't think. But I think a lot of that key fob things like Bluetooth over to the car. But I'd never heard of a sound absorbent windshield, but I had to have one replaced down here. And the more I think about it, the more I think it was an Acorn, because, boy, those things really hit hard. I thought a car was going past me, coming at me, but generally speaking, they never throw a stone forward. You just get it when you get in behind. And I've had a couple of windshields broken by semi-trucks, and so I stay way the heck back from those suckers. But, if I was going to buy a new car, I just would never buy anything but an Avalon. That's how much we like them. But these are 2011 on our car and 2011 on the Tacoma, and we're just very happy with it, and it's only got 69,000 miles on it. But I had glass breakage detection put in, and the reason I did that is these guys will go up and, like, they'll go to a golf club or something, they'll just start knocking out windshields and picking up ladies' purses out of the front seat. Well, this one, there's an oscillator in there that pings if you break glass in front of it, and it sets the alarm off inside.
We don't usually keep anything in ours worth stealing, other than the car itself. My wife has always been real paranoid about somebody stealing a purse, anything like that. She didn't care much in it, but you know, just the ID thing you have to be concerned about, the ID theft thing. And my daughter went through a thing where her purse was stolen when she was at Winthrop, and it took us almost years to get it straightened out, and all the identity thefts, and all, I mean, just, it was a mess. So I know how it is. You don't get your ID stolen or hacked or anything else. But I've always liked the Camrys. That's been when I bought the, we had a 92, and that was the first year that they had, well, they had Camrys before then, that's the first year that they had the one that was designed by the Lexus Group. And that was a great car. It drove great. The only thing about that car that I didn't like was I didn't get disc brakes all the way around. I just had disc brakes on the front, and it sounded like a dump truck winding down when you put the brakes on when you're doing like 60 or 70 miles an hour. The last one I had, which was a 2007, it was the last one I had disc brakes all the way around. It didn't do that. But they were great cars, well designed, well built.
The brakes I got on the Avalons are all the way around, and I like that. The only thing I've noticed is that if you're coming down through the mountains and you put the brakes on, it'll shake the wheel like a stall indicator on an airplane a little bit. And the guys down there at Sim's garage said, well, all of them do that now because of the anti-lock braking system. I still don't like it, so I'm going to have them check them again. And 69,000, as far as I know, is a pretty long time to go without getting brake pads. But the alarm system on my truck is the one that I really like. I got it put on by a company called LLC here just south of Greenville, out towards the north end of the airport runway, out towards FedEx on that road. And this is LTR. And Jerry, the neat thing is, if I remote started, I can be inside Lowe's there and start the truck out in the parking lot if I wanted to. Whereas that Toyota, it's limited to like 90 feet. Well, what good's that do you? Well, on the Avalon. But that one they put on for me, if it starts, and say you run out there with a brick, knock the window out, open the door and get in. As soon as you touch the brake, it dies. If you haven't got a key to put in it and turn it on, you ain't going nowhere because the transmission's locked. And it just totally, you're not going anywhere in that thing unless you got the key and put the key in it and turn it on and then know the sequence to go. And it's very simple. But if you was a thief trying to get out of there, you wouldn't be going nowhere. And if that alarm goes off, it sounds like a police car coming. It isn't like one of these beep, beep, beep things. Well, one night about midnight, we had a thunderstorm here, and the lightning hit really, really close, like right across the street, and that sucker went off. I'm telling you, did I come out of that bed fast.
I bet some neighbors might have tested close by. That sounds like a really good system. That's pretty neat. That's a lot more elaborate than most people have. Especially if it locks everything in. I know these, I listen to them on the scanners every once in a while, and I hear the inside digital lamp out here tracing his low jack cars. You can actually, I mean, it's got to be close enough, but you can actually trace that signal to here. I can't remember what frequency it was on, but you can actually hear it if they're close by. That's where the cops do it too, but I hear them talk about, they don't do it on the, it's not encrypted frequency, but it's not, it doesn't have the talk group's not ID'd, so you can't tell who it is, but it's like a common law enforcement talk group they're on, it's usually on the interstates where they're after certain cars. They know the make of the car, and they said, well, they're tracking the low jack, and it's, you know, but I think you have to be within a certain range, I believe, in order to be able to track it.
Might have been satellite based, but I don't know anything about it, Jerry, to be honest with you. But yeah, that's pretty cool. Now, Greenville's been using license plate readers down there, and it's on the car, and they can just drive down the road, and their car is checking thousands of license plates. Now, I think that's great. And a lot of people, oh, it's the Freedom of Information Act, and you're breaking this, and you're breaking that. No, they ain't. What they're looking for is stolen cars and things like that. Probably expired tags and everything else. Don't bother me a dang bit. If you're not breaking the law, what's it hurt if they're reading your license plate? I ain't got nothing to hide.
We use it anyway. That's kind of a conspiracy theory thought, I suppose, but... I mean, they do that. I mean, that's more common than people realize. They do it at, for the HOV lane and, headed through 85 in downtown Atlanta, it does that. It reads, it's got a sticker on your car that actually, the camera actually reads the sticker on your car if you paid up. If you haven't paid up, it notifies them. Then they'll send you a ticket. They'll send you a $75 ticket in the mail if you're not paid up enough to be traveling. Because they charge. It's different. It depends on the traffic. If it's a higher level of traffic, different part of the day, they'll charge you as much per mile as they do other times. But they'll sure nail you if you don't have that. If it reads the sticker and says you got no money in it, no balance on it, they'll sure get you in a hurry.
Jerry.
It's pass. It starts about somewhere around Duluth, Georgia, on 85. From there, it goes all the way through downtown Atlanta. It's a single-lane HOV lane on each side, and you can enter and exit it at certain times, but you don't pay the same thing per mile. It costs you, like, to go from this exit to another one, it's going to cost you, $2 or a dollar, whatever. Then at a different time of the day, if the traffic is heavier, they charge you more.
Well, I've seen that kind of thing before. In different cities, they have that. Well, I just found out that neither one of these, and I ordered two of them, these cases, fit my telephone. That makes me happy. God dang. And they got them here in one day, and they're only $5.92. So I guess I got to go down to Verizon tomorrow and get a new case. But neither one of these are going to work pretty soon. Yeah, I said it was for an iPhone 11 and big ones and that. Maybe I'm not seeing something here. I'll have to figure it out in a little bit, Jerry. It don't look like it fits to me. Oh, shoot. C'est la vie. But, yeah, that alarm on the truck is neat. And there's several other little tricks there that I didn't mention that on it. And, if somebody even tries to break into it, it will go off. And back when I got mine, it was $400. Now, it seemed like a lot, but I didn't want them getting away with my truck. At least not, a guy needs a clear shot.
The subscription for it like you are these other ones. And, yeah, you mentioned LoJack. I don't know if that's satellite-based or not. They got some way of tracking it, though, because maybe it's just something the cops have. But I was reading somewhere that they have some frequencies they use, but it may be something. It may be satellite-based. I don't know. But I don't remember the frequency now. I'll have to check it again. But it's interesting the way they were following them around. But they know what the car is, know the tag. Of course, they've already switched tags by the time they're stolen it. And with LoJacking, sometimes they still don't find them for a while. That sounds like a neat alarm system for $400. That's for sure. That's not a lot of money. I think it'd be over $1,000. And that's not a lot of money at all. It's worth it. One of my buddies his truck was stolen in Atlanta. And when he got it back, they got sick of it. They ruined the interior. It had drugs in it. It smelled like meth on the inside. It was just terrible. And he wound up having to strip the interior and take the seats out and hold it. And he finally traded the thing and made him seal. Just knowing that what all had been going. They said kept it for about 3 or 4 days before they found it. It had the wheel stripped off of it, some other stuff. But he said it wouldn't fit down after they got a hold of it.
It's amazing what these scumbags do to your vehicles if they steal them. And, we don't go enough places that things like that have ever bothered us, and we don't go into those areas where the potential is, hopefully. You never know. But if I remote start this, for example, if I walk to the mailbox, I just hit that button twice, and the truck will remain running. And I can go out and get the mail, or I could go into a quick trip, and that's where a lot of times they'll steal them. People go in and leave their vehicles running. Well, I can hit that button twice, get out, and shut the door, hit the lock button, and go inside. Somebody knocks the window out, opens the door, and jumps inside, and it touches the brake or various other things, and it just shuts down. I like that. Or if somebody bumps it with another car, it'll go off. And they had an alarm system down there. This has been quite a few years ago when we bought this truck in 2013, something like that. So that's been 8 years ago. They had a system there then. You'd take your cell phone and say your daughter was out in San Diego and she had that vehicle and lost her keys. And I could sit right here and use my cell phone and start it for her.
Some similar to that for the cord, but it's not that elaborate. I don't think you can. It may be a subscription service. It probably lasts, but there is a link system that you can use to do that with. The only thing about mine that I don't particularly care for, what I wish it had, mine's got the backup cameras and side, tells you somebody's beside you and that sort of thing, alerts you. And the only thing is mine didn't have a front-facing camera. I wish it did, because this car is a good bit bigger than what I've been driving before, and I keep thinking I'm parking too close, and I get out a little like I'm 2 feet from the curb.
Light points at you if there's somebody, if you start to change the lanes and that. I found out one of the best things to do is if you look in that left-hand mirror, in your rear-view mirror, and then you want to switch lanes, is speed up while you're doing it. And if somebody runs into that dead spot, you do have a little bit of a chance of seeing them. But mine don't have that dead spot thing. It's not that new. We're in 2011. But that would be one of the nice things. We had a 2008, Jerry, and it had I call it a radar ranging or laser ranging. And you had three different settings on it, and it was all on the steering wheel. And say I got behind a semi, and I wanted to stay out of what I considered rock range. And I hit the button, set to cruise, and say that truck was going fast enough, or the car was going fast enough ahead of you, it would stay right with that car. If that car slowed down, my car would slow down. And if you went back on up to where it was set, you'd go back up. And if something happened, and I forget how I did that, if the car in front of you stopped real rapidly, it would decelerate the car in a linear fashion to match his. And when it got down to, say you was dozing or not paying attention, and you always felt it from the G-forces, but say you didn't, and when it got within so many feet of that other vehicle and down to about 20 or 30 miles an hour, it'd go ding, 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 and that would wake you up for sure. It wouldn't quite stop the car like these new ones do, but it'd come real close.
Something similar to that. I think the Subaru Eyesight is probably one of the better ones. This one, mine's got the big brake pedal light on the front of it, you know, in the dash, and it'll come on if they slow down too much. Mine does that. Same thing with the cruise. It'll, you know, you can set how far back you want it, and it'll go along with the car in front of it. And if somebody pulls over in front of you, it alerts you as well. But the blind spot detection is pretty important, and I like that. I like that thing, and also, you know, since it's got that cross lane detection, when you back it up, if you're backing out of a parking space, it'll notify you if somebody's on either side coming in. Of course, you can see the backup, and then when you back into a spot in a garage, you can look at it back and then look at it straight down to see where you are on the line. I just wish it had a front-facing one that would let me know how close I am to something in the front, pulling into a parking space. I just haven't learned that yet, because most of these cars, like the new Avalon, Camry, and of course, with the windows in them, are so small. They're not. The first thing I noticed with the windows, a lot smaller than, you know, you don't have the cabin. The view, cabin view is not as, you just don't have much cabin view like you do in a truck or SUV. The windows are so small, you can't, I mean, if you go look, you know, look in the mirrors to back them up, it's difficult to do. And without a backup camera, these cars are so low to the ground, it's hard to see without them now. They make you depend on them. But mine is pretty accurate, though. It tells me the turning radius. Whether I'm backing up, it'll show the turning radius. If I'm not, you know, if I'm going back into something, it'll alert me. But it'll show the turning radius when I turn. And stay in the road. And it's got that thing you said, you know, where it starts wiggling if you get out of the lane. And I don't like that. I turn that darn thing off. That thing's more aggravating than it is anything. anything. I mean, I'll be going down the road and move just a little bit and start wiggling like I got a flat tire.
Bernice is over there mopping, so I'm going to have to get out of here, Jerry. I need to go check this and make sure I'm right about this case. But, that's amazing. I'd like to have some of those safety features. I'm kind of a safety nut, and that would be great. But, Bernice is not for anything different right now, so when the War Department speaks, you know, that's the way it is. And I wouldn't like that either with that thing shaking like that. But to the other side of the coin, I don't want one of those self-driving cars either. I'm not quite ready for an autonomous vehicle yet. I know what I'd do. I'd fall asleep, and I have to watch that. I've only had that happen a couple of times in my life, but luckily nothing happened from it. Either Bernice smacked me on the arm or I ran into a fescue field one time coming home from work. I worked from 7 at night till 7 in the morning, and then I drove 35 miles home there towards the end of my career before I retired, and I just fell asleep one morning. I heard the fescue hitting the front bumper and woke me up in my little old red Nissan. And didn't hit anything, just pulled back on the highway. Kansas, you know. Jerry, good talking to you. And I'll catch you down the line, buddy. You take care out there. And hope you're successful going to Columbia. Let me know. Maybe we'll talk to you on the way. In for DJC and 0TR73.
Hey, good talking with you. You behave yourself. In for DJC clear.
4NGU.
Boy, you ought to see that line down there at Kmart. Bernice is trying to help me see if I ordered the wrong case here for my telephone. And I know I ordered the right thing, but I don't think they sent the right thing. Yeah, that line down there is humongous, to say the least. I gotta get out of her way here and go downstairs so she can mop the floor. Send 0TR.
The radios are signing.
Oh, I will in a minute. I hope you have better luck going over there on Pelham. That's a good place. Are they going to utilize that drive-through over there on the right side of the road down there on Buncombe?
But I couldn't tell you, brother. Get out of her way. We'll talk later. W4, never give up.
Okie doke. N0TR. NGU, N0TR.
W4NGU. Well, that front that was coming down from up north must have turned or something. We sure didn't get the cold weather we thought we were going to.
Yeah, they changed that forecast 3, 4, 5 days ago, Phil. They said it was going to be the coldest since 2018, and there was a warm front pushed up against it and kept it from making it this far. However, that frigid air is still just to the north, and they haven't pinned down when it will move through next week, but it will eventually get here. My buddy back in Kansas called me this morning just to visit, and he said it was 8 degrees there and they had ice on the road.
It's bad when you get that cold and you get a layer of ice and then you get the snow on top of it. Then you got a problem.
He's our age and they just stay at home. But I'll tell you a good one. My neighbor, I noticed his truck was gone yesterday, all day, and he wasn't back yesterday evening. And I kind of watched the place for him, but his wife was home. But his daughter wasn't. And I guess she just takes off and goes sightseeing now and then. And she might drive to New Orleans and buy some trinkets and drive back the next day. You just never know. She's single, and so she called yesterday in the morning And at 11 o'clock, he took off for a town, I think it was Grove, Indiana. It was just outside of Indianapolis. He drove from 11 o'clock in the morning, and he had to go get a trailer to put that small Toyota on, automobile, and come back. And he got back at 2 o'clock in the morning after 15 hours straight.
Neat. Well, I got to see a little snow. I want to see a little more if I can. So I wouldn't mind if that front snuck down a little bit lower.
I left Toto and Dorothy in Kansas and towed the snow shovel away and threw it in the ditch. And I don't want no part of the snow. When we got down here, I think it was 2010 or 2012. What was it? Anyways, it would have been 10 years ago. Right after we got down here, there was 9 inches of snow and 12 degrees. Boy, did I chew my daughter's ear off for that. She said it didn't snow here.
I thought you had made a big mistake. We had a snow here when I was middle school or earlier here. And I think we're out of school about 3 weeks before it got safe enough. That was the most fun thing. And, man, we had big drifts and had an open carport in the house we lived in. And, man, that's just great fun for a kid. You make you some good snow ice cream if you know how to flavor it right and get you some good clean snow. But we had sledding down here, if you can believe that, Tom.
Jim said, and you know how big that hill is up by my place, Jim said that the year or two before we moved down here, they had an ice storm and they was out of power here for 6 days.
Even where I live, they don't let the power, it rarely goes down, but when it does, they get it back on so those businesses can pay the bill. I never will forget, we had a big snow when I was growing up, and me and another guy, he had a sled, and he'd get on that sled and get moving, and I'd jump on top of him, and we'd go riding down the road, and we went through this cul-de-sac one time they were building, and they had not filled in, they had dug a hole for a big, big manhole, and not filled it in. And I will never forget, everything went in slow motion as we went off the road down into that hole. And I hit my knee. I guess I'm glad, I'm fortunate that's all that got really banged up bad, but it was 15 years before my knee quit giving me problems.
That's not good at all. Well, the dangest one I ever did, I was going over to a friend's house, and I turned down Pine Street, and they had moved the police station down there on Pine Street. Anyways, I was on a Cushman Eagle, and they had suicide throttles. You just turn the throttle on, and it'd stay wherever you put it. And I had a Pepsi Cola in my left hand and had a hold of handlebar, sort of. And I just turned the throttle on after I got in second gear. It was just two speeds. And I suppose I was running about 60 miles an hour. And there was these round things about, 8 or 10 inches in diameter. And they said water on them. And there'd be a valve down there, I guess, where they can turn it. And the city or somebody had left that off laying up on the curb. And I had one hand on the handlebar, and when I hit that, the other handlebar come back and hit me in the stomach, and I went over the front of the scooter. And I don't know, altogether, the scooter slid about 200 feet. Sparks everywhere, gasoline all over me, because the gas cap back then wasn't that good. And I'll never forget some little old lady come out of the house up there, and my scooter was laying over by a fire plug, and she says, "Are you hurt, Sonny?"
It's a miracle we didn't all get killed growing up.
My elbow was as big as my head almost that night. And, you know, the good thing, though, Phil,
my brother had done this when he was younger. I had on a Bell half helmet, and it got road rash all over it. And I also had on a full leather jacket that was my brother's before he joined the Navy. And it already had patches on it where he'd been down, and I renewed the road rash.
I just about got in trouble just riding bicycles and skidding and locking down the brakes and turning circles and all this kind of stuff. A good thing I didn't get hurt or a car come out or something. But we had a lot of fun, and we drank out of hoses, and we did all kind of stuff like that, and it didn't kill us. Isn't that something?
Had he stand on us because I deserved it. Oh, man. We did some things on those motorcycles that our parents... it was funny. I had a 80cc Yamaha Enduro, and I had put big sprockets on it and this and that. And I took, remember when Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola and all them knee-high and all those, they come in wooden pop cases. Well, I had to, my job at our little grocery store is to pick up all those bottles and put them back in the pop room, we called it, because he got credit for those bottles. Well, one day some lady went in the store, and my mom's name was Virginia, and she said, "Virginia, Virginia, Tommy's out there in the parking lot, and he's got a jump made and a big gap in between the jump, and he's going to kill himself. He's jumping across that jump with that motorcycle." Mom says, I just don't look.
Well, I went to look at a Kawasaki 100 or 125 that somebody had in the paper. Daddy went with me, and I didn't have any experience on a bike. I had ridden just a little bit on somebody's. But something got into me, and I scalded that thing up the road and back down a couple of times and stopped, and I said, "I'll take it." And it scared my dad to death. And he pulled me, he said, let's go over here and talk. And he had a 64 Chevy, 3 on the column, and he wanted him a new Buick. And he said, "Son, if you won't buy that motorcycle, that Chevy's yours." I said, "It's a deal."
Nice. My favorite was the 64 Impala with that 327, I think it was 300 horse, and had a three or four speed Hertz shifter in it. Oh, those were beautiful.
I guess it was a Biscayne. I forget what it was. Doggone it. I thought I'd never forget that, but that became my high school car. And so that was a whole lot better than any old doggone motorcycle. And I had no feel on a bicycle, so I probably would have gotten hurt on that motorcycle. I thank my dad for seeing that fork in the road and steering me to the other way.
TR. Yeah, that brings memories back when I was throwing papers. There was a house, I think their name was Cristino, and their boys, which I think they had two or three boys, of course they was a lot older than I was, they had a beautiful 64 Chevy white convertible. And one night, apparently they got a hold of some alcohol and they'd been drinking. And there was another guy in the car with them. There was four people in it. And I think the other ones were all brothers. And they went out by Atkinson Municipal Airport, which was a small airport, and they turned left there onto a dirt road. Well, it went down to a T in the road. Well, when they turned, this fellow by the name of David Hossman made them let him out of the car because they were driving so erratically. Now, this was out in the country quite a little ways. There was houses out there, but it was a fur piece to walk back to town, and he had the good sense to get out of that car. And when those boys reached that T in the road down there, it was a paved road going crossways in front of them, but it was a dirt road they was on. They went off over that gully and hit a tree in midair and ejected all of them out of that convertible and killed every one of them. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Same, Tom, and a lot of that happens. There's some kids got killed a few years ago in Boiling Springs, a little side road, and they were all tennis players at USC Upstate. It was three guys and a girl, and they had the pictures in the paper. She was a pretty girl. She was really pretty and athletic, and alcohol was involved, and they just wrapped that thing around a big tree, and they're still... their friends or family or somebody still comes out and put fresh ribbons around it to this day.